Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, 7-time Emmy Award-winning actor Ed Asner shares stories about his long and prestigious career in Hollywood.
With the first year of Mary Tyler Moore, we were hot. At lunch, Mary and her merry band of travelers would dance for a couple of hours. And Gavin and Ted and I would go gorge ourselves at lunchtime. They wanted me on the Johnny Carson show. Oh, well, you got to prepare for it. Well, what are you going to do? He said, well, you'll teach Ed and Johnny your various ballet moves. My first Emmy was given to me by Lucille Ball and Jack Benny. Can't beat that combo.
Today on the show, actor Ed Asner talks about his long and prestigious career in Hollywood. Stay close.
This is Ed Asner, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And whether you're a longtime fan of the show for over 9 years, or you're a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys had a chance to listen to this show last week with Lisa Orkin. There was a comedian on the show last week, Ed, and she talked about spending time at a convent.
Yeah, there's a lot of laughs there.
Like she was trying to get away from it all.
Yeah.
And so she was at this convent, and I don't think that would ever be something I would consider. Can you ever imagine spending time in a convent, like to get away or?
Yeah, yeah. If it was sacked with nuns like you, sure.
I could. Well, I don't think that's how it goes down.
No?
No, I don't think so.
That's the way I go down. How about that?
The girl that was on the show, she only lasted one night. Like, she was supposed to be there for a period of time, and one night is all. She just couldn't take it. She was just so bored.
Oh, well, yeah, you would be bored. but how could you be bored? I mean, you'd be busy scanning each individual that you came across.
Yeah.
Unless you don't come across any individuals.
Right, exactly.
So she must have been an empty book.
I think you're absolutely right. And also, she said a lot of people there were like in rehabilitation, you know, from drugs and alcohol. So I could see that happening, being a kind of a safe space to go.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys, go back and listen to Lisa Orkin, but not today, because today I'm here with legendary actor Ed Asner. And I'm so happy to be with you, sir, because I watched you all through my childhood growing up, and then I continue to see you acting.
Where'd you grow up? Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so interesting, you know, how long your career has spanned, because you're still so relative. I mean, on that show that you just did with Christina Applegate, was it Dead to Me? Is that it?
Yeah.
I thought you just played such a great character.
I will never understand why it swept people the way it did. It sure did, though, didn't it? And I felt nothing.
Yeah, interesting, because it was, I guess it was also just a dynamic role in that, you know, so the lead actress is playing, like, she teaches art classes at a retirement village.
Yeah.
And you're in the retirement village. I don't know, I guess because you're just so natural.
Well, then I went from that to Briar Patch.
Yeah.
With Rosario Dawson. And David Paymer plays my son.
Wow, David Paymer.
He's a wonderful actor.
He is a wonderful actor. So is his brother, actually, Steve Paymer.
His what?
He has a brother, Steve Paymer. Another good actor.
He never mentioned him.
Well, you tell
I think
him.
That's sick.
You tell
I think
tell
he's
him.
Sick.
See, I was with Christine Blackburn. She mentioned your brother.
He fell down a stairway, by the way.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Yeah, and he's going to have a skin transplant.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry to hear that.
From his butt.
Oh, God.
To his leg.
Interesting.
He fell down a staircase.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's tragic.
Yeah.
So, so we're here, you guys. Go back, listen to Lisa Orkin, but not now, because we're here with Ed Asner. And, Ed, you're going to tell us some stories about New York.
Well, there's a time I lived at 15th and 3rd in New York.
Okay.
And my wife and I were going to dinner. I don't know where we were going to eat. One of the many places that nearby on 15th and 3rd that we would eat dinner at. And we're walking along, and we're going to go to eat dinner and go to a movie maybe, you know. And this guy looked like he might have been a sailor. Is walking along, begging for some chow money.
Yeah.
And I'm ignoring him, and he's going along, and he's trying to, you know, interest me into giving him some money so he can get something to eat on 14th Street or thereabouts, near the Bowery, and. I walk along and I'm ignoring him. And finally he says, eat yourself to death.
That's very funny.
Yeah?
You were married twice.
Yeah.
Where did you take your honeymoons?
Miami Beach the first time. My in-laws paid for the honeymoon.
Nice.
Yeah, that was nice of them. And, God, they're going to have her ashes strewn on Cape Cod, which was her favorite place.
Is that right? She passed away?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. She was a great gal.
No kidding. Yeah. And that's who you have your children with?
Yep. Well, all three of my four kids.
Yeah. You have twins, right?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, it was very exciting, but the stupid thing was that we were so intent on making them individuals that we just had to make sure that everything was separate for them, which is stupid because they are boy-girl twins. Everything's going to be separate for them to begin with.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So it was stupid. And we killed the potential for enjoyment of having twins.
How interesting. Wow, that's such a different perspective. I've never heard that before.
Mm.
I mean, did you dress them alike at all, or did you, you know, were you always just trying to differentiate them?
No, we didn't dress them alike.
Yeah.
But it was governing our mentalities.
Yeah.
Every inch of the way. And then my daughter, my twin daughter, then had twins of her own.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so
boy-girl twins.
How interesting. Do you like being a grandfather?
No.
Bullshit.
No, I don't. I don't.
Really?
Don't tell me what I like.
Do you not like kids?
Huh?
Do you not like
kids? I like kids until they start to shoot off their mouth.
Yeah. My dad said the same thing. My dad was always like, I hate children. I didn't like any of you till you were 15.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it was. And really, I wasn't close to my dad until I was about 25. And then the last 20 years of his life, we got really close. We had all the same, you know, same things in common.
Well, her daughter is a honors winner.
Wow.
And her son is like 6'6". They're 14 years old, and he's already 6 foot, maybe 6'2". I don't know.
No, he had a growth spurt. Ed, listen, I have a 12-year-old daughter. I know you have children.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love about being with my daughter is when we sit down and build something together or do something together, whether it's art or, you know, we create something, because that way we're talking and we're being together, spending quality time. Well, check this out. I have found this company, KiwiCo, that creates super cool hands-on projects for kids to make, learning about STEAM. You know what STEAM stands for?
STEAM?
STEAM, yeah. Science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And all of these projects are designed by experts, and they're tested by kids. And there are 7 lines to choose from. For instance, my daughter, since she's 12, she gets a Tinker Crate. And every month, your child will get a new box in the mail. It's amazing, you guys. Each month, a kid receives a new fun and engaging project with all the supplies that they need to challenge themselves creatively. All the supplies are needed for that month's project, and it's detailed, easy to follow instructions. And I gotta tell you, KiwiCo is just a way to spend time with your child. It is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they wanna be. There's no commitment, you guys. You can cancel anytime. And monthly options start at just $19.95 a month, and that includes the shipping. And check this out. For my listeners, if you go to kiwico.com/storyworthy, you'll get your first month free. Your first month free, you guys. Listen, every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Again, go to kiwico.com/storyworthy, and you'll get your first month free. kiwico.com/storyworthy. What do you think of that, Ed Asner?
I think that's wonderful. Yeah. I think you found something, and hopefully it will affect other children and their parents as well.
Thanks, Ed Asner. I appreciate it. I think you're absolutely right. Is anybody in your lineage into acting the way you were and have been and are?
No.
Well, we're talking about New York. How long did you live in New York?
6 years.
6 years. New York is a young man's game, isn't it?
I don't like it.
Yeah. It's so, if you have a lot of money, it seems like it would be okay. And if you're working...
No, we didn't need a lot of money. I was making... I was in Three Penny Opera for almost 3 years. So we were living off... And my wife was working at William Morris.
What, was she an agent?
She was a sub-agent.
Interesting. Did that benefit you? Did that benefit you?
It got me my agent when I first started out.
That's great.
Didn't do anything else for me.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to have the misnomer that agents get the work for you, but it really seems like agents handle the contracts.
Yeah, yeah, they diddle.
The casting director gets the work.
Mm-hmm.
And you, of course, I mean, the person, the talent, mm-hmm. is the one that drives all of it, because mm-hmm. you're either showing up or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
I think Woody Allen was the one that said, you know, 90% of show business is showing up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You believe that? You agree?
Yeah.
With that? Yeah.
I think he's full of shit in many ways. But
that's accurate.
But on that one, I'll give him credit.
I understand. So when you were, let me ask you, you know, when Mary Tyler Moore, I'm thinking like 1970, 71, 72, those early years, were you guys just like, obviously you're on top of the world?
Yeah.
It's like the best ensemble cast ever.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys do for fun after shooting and stuff?
Do for fun?
Yeah.
Look for broads.
But you were married a lot of that time.
Still look for broads.
Really? Are you lying to me right now?
I'm looking for broads right now.
Hence, you've been married twice.
Mm-hmm.
I've been
mm-hmm.
married twice.
Have you?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And so...
I did, and we certainly aren't attempting to make it a third time, are we?
Yeah. I don't see the point, really, at this stage. Do you?
No. I want somebody to... chop off my legs if I dare think of it.
Yeah. I mean, but you're going to be 90 in November.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're still
who
very...
Who would be
like,
a schmuck?
No, you're still so active. So it seems...
Zero.
Like, are you
zero,
dating? Do you date?
Zero.
Yeah.
Do I date?
Yeah.
Why, you want to go out?
No, not really. But I'm just wondering.
I won't tell you.
What did you guys do? Like, tell me about Mary Tyler Moore. Tell me what the work week was like. Tell me what that encompasses. So you had a table read on Monday.
And then we'd go to lunch. And at lunch, Mary and her Mary brand of travelers would dance for a couple of hours. And Gavin and Ted and I would go gorge ourselves at lunchtime.
That's a great memory.
And I put on a lot of weight, so that you see the pictures of me in the first year of the show, it's like I was blown up by a balloon.
Wow.
And I felt I had to really start cutting back on the carbs.
Did you know it was carbs? I mean, did you have...
No, I didn't know. It was food. Yeah. Just eating too goddamn much food.
I know, it's just saying, like, back then, it just seems like people didn't have the dietary wherewithal that we have now.
Yeah, I know.
And there wasn't as much food to choose from. There wasn't the choices we have now.
Terrible.
What's your favorite food?
It varies. It really does. Desserts. They're my favorite food.
Me too.
But I hate the idea of eating meat. I hate it. But I do if I have to. I like Caesar salads.
Me too.
Yeah. And
maybe we should go on a date. I like Caesar salad.
Yeah, you want to split a Caesar?
Split a Caesar.
Yeah, we can split a Caesar. But I don't know. I don't know. All my life I've fought fat and lost. Hmm. Yeah.
That's interesting you should say that, because I would, that's like the last thing I'd ever think about you. If I were to characterize you, I would never say, oh, that guy, Ed Asner, who's overweight. Like, I would never think that.
Really?
No.
I bet that's good.
No, really. Right, but I know what you're saying. A lot of people have that. I have that as well, just in terms of like always trying to being aware of what I'm putting
yeah.
my body.
I mean, I'd like the idea of food, but I should shun it. I keep wanting to become an emaciated monk.
Why would you want to do that?
Maybe I will try that.
Go to the convent?
Yeah. I'll try that convent.
Wouldn't you get bored, though, seriously? Wouldn't that be boring?
Well, it all depends if I made out with nuns.
Yeah. I don't think that that's their gig.
You don't think so?
Uh-uh.
Well, how do you know? You don't know.
I don't know. I don't know a lot.
No, I know you don't.
Here's something I know.
You're willing to learn from me, aren't you?
I am willing to. Of course, everybody wants to learn from you.
Of course
they do. No, really. Your longevity, not only as a comedic actor, but obviously a dramatic actor.
Mm-hmm.
7 Emmys. I mean, it's astounding.
Yeah.
And you've been nominated 1,000 times. Did you like going to those award shows?
Did I what?
Did you like going to those award shows?
I wouldn't go unless I was nominated.
Yeah.
Now that would be stupid.
Yeah. Because
I can think of a lot of ways to have fun. That's not one of them.
Yeah, because it's boring,
yeah.
Right?
And you're not being nominated.
Yeah, and you're there for 3-4 hours.
Yeah, in other words, you're telling people you're a loser.
Did anybody ever tip you off?
What?
Did anybody ever tip you off like, hey, Ed, you should come because you're winning? Like that?
Oh, no.
That doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, but enough people would fill you with enough confidence that you went. My first Emmy was given to me by Lucille Ball and Jack Benny.
Wow.
You can't beat that combo.
That is so interesting. That is really astounding. You have been with so many amazing people in your life, like Johnny Carson,
yeah.
Like John Wayne.
Johnny Carson didn't care for me.
Really?
Yeah.
And why do you think that is?
Well, with the first year of Mary Tyler Moore, we were hot. And I guess second year. And Ed Weinberger had joined us. He had been a producer for Johnny. And he was a writer, producer, who joined Mary. And when I told the company that they wanted me on the Johnny Carson show, Ed Weinberger said, oh, well, you got to prepare for it. What are you going to do? And I had taken ballet lessons with Peter Gennaro and stuff like that. He said, well, you'll teach Ed and Johnny your various ballet moves that you can teach them. And I was scared, goddamn scared. I didn't know what to do. So I said, okay, I'll do that. And I kept thinking, well, who's gonna remind me of what the moves are? So Valerie, newly departed Valerie, said she'd teach me. Ballet moves. So I, oh, great, great. Right? And as the day approached, it was like a Saturday, and it gets closer and closer to Saturday, and Valerie ain't giving me the time to teach me ballet moves. And I'm going goddamn nuts. And finally, Mary, out of kindness, said, I'll get my teacher to teach you. And he taught me a couple of moves, And I brought that to the Johnny Carson show, and we went through it, and they looked like boobs, he and Ed, and but I don't need that kind of strain. So I always resented Valerie for not showing up.
What did she say when you did you ask her? Like, what?
She was always busy, 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 yeah. And I.
But Mary,
I needed her, and yeah. She didn't give it to me.
But Mary came through.
Yeah, Mary.
And you did get the lessons.
Yeah.
And did you learn like position one, position two, those
yeah,
things?
Yeah. Entrechats, yeah.
And so did Johnny Carson, did he didn't appreciate the segment or he did?
No, I it's what I learned about it because he of course was primarily a verbal comedian and knew how to take.
Yeah.
And so I would do the shtick with it. Then I would sit down, and I expected some kind of cross conversation to take place. He'd be busy fumbling with some little gizmo that he had there.
Ignoring you.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That's the way it went the whole evening. So it was a bust, and he never had me back to guest with him.
He never had you back on? You were only on once?
No, whenever I come back on, I was with the other gal.
It's interesting you said that about Valerie Harper. I would think at that time, because she had the first spinoff from Mary Tyler Moore, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so she must have been, I mean, you were all very busy with other projects, isn't that true?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No. We were all breathed a great sigh of relief when it became her manager, her agent at the time, busy driving them nuts, trying to get her own show going.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of us felt, get her out, and they'll have more time for us.
Did that happen then? That is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. It must be hard in a way to be in an ensemble and then people do take off, you know? I mean, everybody has their own thing on the side as well. And, of course, you had the same thing, although you didn't overlap. Lou Grant did not overlap Mary Tyler Moore, of course. Two separate entities, the Mary Tyler Moore being a three-camera sitcom. Lou Grant, one-camera drama. Which is very interesting. Not many people have made that leap.
Well, that's the chutzpah of the two producers I asked for, who were the creative producers of Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll trust these guys.
Grant Tinker?
No. Jim Brooks and Alan Burns.
Oh, James Brooks, just what a talent. Are you still friends with him?
Haven't seen him in years.
But you would be friends with him, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I have to see what kind of take he looks like. I don't know. I found that he went through a couple of wives with me around, and I'd have to see what he's like. He gave an answer to when I got political and the show got canceled.
Yeah.
Lou Grant, that is. And my agent cornered Jim one day and said, something like it. Ed could use some attention. And Jim's response was, well, I think he's been too political.
Mm.
And no shit, Sherlock.
I love that about you, because you've used your, you know, your notoriety for politics. I mean, what else is there?
Yeah.
I so admire that. Now, right now, I don't. You're not on Twitter, are you, by any chance?
My son does Twitter.
Yeah. So there's a couple of really outspoken people on Twitter, like Rob Reiner,
yeah.
Alyssa Milano, and I am like so grateful that they are speaking out.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't they use that?
I like Rob a lot. I don't care for his dad that much.
Mm. That's too bad. He's that elderly guy.
Yeah. He tends to subtly put you down if you try to be funny.
Because he's smarter? Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I've known a lot of comedians in my life, and it's like their minds are always working. They're always thinking of the next thing, the next joke. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for them, in my experience, to be in the present.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're always trying to top whatever you say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you've done some one-person shows. You've done some solo shows, which I'm so impressed with because I know how much work that takes. Even if you have all the people in the world helping you, that's still a hell of a lot of work, yeah?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And have you always memorized your shows?
No.
What do you use, a teleprompter?
I do. I read them. I refer to the page.
That you're holding or a teleprompter?
It's a book.
Oh, it's a book. Interesting.
All right. And in one show, God help us, it's like a Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep unraveling and unrolling
scroll.
The Torah. And in... A Man and His Prostate, it's a book, and I turn the pages unnoticeably.
Yeah.
And just take it to the end.
You're a pro.
Yeah.
No, you really are.
And I was prepared to learn that book, and the producer or the director, whoever was around, said, "No, you just read it."
I love it. I think that's smart. I recently worked with an actor who was, you know, the part that he was playing, he was looking into a computer screen, but, you know, you couldn't see the computer screen, so he just had his lines taped right to the computer. And he's doing the scene. And it was perfect.
I did that on a some special I did.
Yeah. So you were brought up Orthodox Jewish.
Yeah.
And did that ever, like, stay with you, the Orthodox part? Or did you abandon that, like, you know, when you're on your own after you leave your folks?
Oh, no, you abandon it. The first time I had porker, what was it? The older kids were going to a movie in Kansas City, Missouri, and they, what was it? They stopped at a favorite diner to get something pork, and I had one too, and it's like I died and went to heaven.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
But then, you know, now that I'm almost 90, the sounds I can remember as a kid. My father's junkyard was across the street from Armour's Packing House. And all day long you could hear down about two blocks away the Judas goat leading the cattle and the goats and the sheep into the slaughterhouse. And I hated that sound.
Wow.
And I hate the fact of they were all sacrificing their souls, as minor as they may have been.
Wow.
And I try to stop myself from eating meat every day.
Yeah, that's a hell of a memory. That's a hell of a memory.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't blame you. And also when you think about, you know, when they throw out statistics about, you know, how much money everybody would save, you know, in terms of it was more farming and less, you know, killing of animals. And, you know, there's so many good points to be made.
Yeah.
What about fish? Do you eat fish?
Yeah, I tend to resort to fish.
I do love fish.
Rather than animals.
Yeah. Well, fish, you don't think an animal is a fish is an animal?
Yeah, I know.
It has a face and all that. Hey, here's a fun fact. I had no idea that your wife's nephew is Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, well, but my ex-wife's
your nephew. Ex-wife, it's so interesting, the governor of California.
Yeah.
Do you stay in contact with him?
I haven't, but he's a great guy.
He seems like a good guy. I'm so glad you're saying that.
He is a lovely man. He's got great taste. And his father was Bill Newsom, who was a decent judge and under Jerry Brown. And Gavin earned my everlasting fealty when he okayed gay marriage as mayor of San Francisco.
Right.
And the Democrats couldn't stop jumping on him for doing that. And I love him even more.
Amazing.
He started the whole trend. And I say that the gays don't make an icon of him, then they're full of crap.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. So here we are in this political climate, where we're at now, in 2019. The election is next year. Why would we not assume that the election will be hacked as it was in 2016? Like, why don't we just assume that's what's going to happen?
Well,
we never stopped it.
I think our Electoral College is full of crap.
It's absurd.
And I think unless Congress does something about amending, I mean, it's like trying to pass gun laws. They're all taking handouts from the NRA, and they're full of crap. So it's not a just government that we have.
You're right.
We have a government that engages in so-called defensive moves with the military, and we got military all over the world. And it's a crock of crap.
Isn't it just infuriating?
Yeah.
And sometimes, I go back east. I've got family in Pittsburgh. And it seems like a lot of people aren't paying attention. Like, they don't even care. Like, they're just doing their thing. And I guess fair enough. But then, like, I guess my blood boils.
Yeah.
I get so mad. So, and you've been politically active your whole life. So do you have any suggestions for people like me? I don't even want to be involved in politics. I don't even want to talk about it. But I don't know how we have a choice now.
I think they need to find a way to avert the Electoral College, because we've shown how it can be sabotaged and used illegally, so that the majority, 3 million votes, were overridden because of using the Electoral College.
And sometimes they think of that number, like 3 million. That's a lot of people.
You're goddamn right.
3 million people? That's the size of a very good-sized city.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just infuriating, and then people just, they keep moving forward, like this train, this Trump train of destruction just keeps moving forward. And everything happens so quickly, it's like we can't even hold on to the fact
that we still haven't seen his tax returns.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm still back on him saying, grab him by the pussy. Like, I can't get past that.
Yeah. Well, when does he pay the price for that?
When does he pay the price for mocking a disabled person? Like, it's so strange. So it must be hard. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm in my 50s now. I mean, I'm older. I've seen some things. I've been through a lot of presidencies. But even at your age, it must be even more infuriating.
Yeah, well, I've never seen such a travesty of the presidency as this jerk.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. Yeah, it really is. Hey, Ed, I have to
talk. And why blame him? Blame all the yahoos who put him into office.
I know, but then I go back to the fact that if Putin and if Russia hacked the election,
why don't we nominate Putin?
Yeah, right?
And get it over with.
Let me ask you something, Ed. Is there anything else you want to do? Any other roles you want to play?
You.
Any other roles you want to play?
Oh, just the usual. Swain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. It must have been really something to be the character Lou Grant for 12 years. That must have been like, did it just become easier and easier? Because it was, you're always him.
I don't know about easy.
Was it hard learning lines?
No. That was never hard. I never had that many lines to learn.
It's like a muscle.
Huh?
It's a muscle,
yeah.
Right? And you learn it and you get good at it.
I just feel very lucky that I had Lou Grant when I did, that I got Elf when I did, that I got Carl Fredrickson when I did.
Amazing. You've played Santa Claus 5 times.
Is that many?
That's a lot. I mean, you don't look like Santa Claus to me. You just must have a really good heart.
I got a belly.
You have a belly, is that it? You wrote the book, The Grouchy Historian.
Mm.
Then you read the audiobook yourself. That's tedious, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't need that.
It's hard. What does that sound?
That's my clock.
Oh, that's your clock. Oh, it's a little bird clock.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I hear you have birds here in the house.
Yeah. My daughter, my beloved daughter, Liza, she got 2 lovebirds. And she gave them to my sister, Eve, who died at the age of 98.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. And she named the 2 lovebirds Esther and Eve, the name of my 2 sisters. Well, time went on, and finally she had to take them in and get treated or something, and found out that they were Eddie and Igor.
Yeah. They were 2 boys. That's funny. Birds live a long time.
Oh, yeah?
If you get a bird, you're making a commitment, you know?
Yeah.
You could have that thing for some time.
Well, I got enough commitments to cats and dogs.
How many cats do you have?
We now have 2.
2. I have 1.
We just had to put one away.
Was it older?
Baby boy yesterday, huh?
How old was the kitty?
17.
17. Mm-hmm. Boy, they really become like a part of the family, don't they?
Aren't they?
Yeah.
She was such a beautiful lady.
Yeah.
She had a bad spine, but she was beautiful.
Yeah, cats are so intuitive, you know. My kitty, if I'm sad, my kitty knows that, and she'll come over and, like, purposefully jump up on me. Like,
oh, really?
It's so interesting how smart they are.
My male kitty, his name is Roast, and he recently got saved from being dragged across the lawn by a coyote.
Oh, my God. How did it get saved? What happened?
The people intervene and chase the coyote away.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you, man. There are so many coyotes here.
Uh-huh.
There really are. We are definitely in their space.
Uh-huh.
They're bold. They walk down my street just like, they just strut down.
In Los Feliz?
Yeah, and they're healthy. You know what I mean?
Really?
They're not always, straggly.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're quite healthy and very bold.
Well, you wait till the end of summer, end of September, end of October. They'll probably be looking scraggly by then.
Yeah. So listen, Ed Asner, before we wrap this up, I want to ask you, what's next? What's in the plans?
Whatever I'm offered.
And people, your phone does ring. People do offer you things and you work.
Mm-hmm.
And Dead to Me, it's Dead to Me, that's what it's called. Dead Like Me, Dead Like Me, that got picked up again.
No, Dead Dead to Me.
Dead to Me. Dead to Me, that got picked up again.
Well, I did Briar Patch.
Briar Patch, yeah.
And I'm supposed to do, what's the name of that show?
Cobra Kai.
Oh, great. Do you want to go back on stage and do and do your one-man shows anymore? Would you have any interest in that?
I'm leaving Saturday to go do it.
Where are you going?
Chicago.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You're a busy man, Ed Asner.
Oh, yeah, Mama.
Thank you very much for sitting down with me.
It was lovely. It was one of my more interesting podcasts.
You are really sweet. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today and being with me and legendary Ed Asner. I'm just so thrilled you invited me into your home. Thank you so much. You guys follow me over there on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. And I want to thank the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, when you check out my sponsors, then you're supporting me. And I thank you. And on behalf of the very talented and fantastic Ed Asner, thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure, darling.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.